Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering which our hearts draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering which we gain better recognition and knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which our sins are forgiven and we get love in our hearts for our Habib Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala Allah ta'ala wa 'ala Allahi falyatawakkalul mu'minun. And upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the believers should trust. Today's lines of our qasida Masalik ul Jinan by Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala, he speaks about a very important aspect of the heart. And that aspect is called tawakkul, which is translated as reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often translated as trust or reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in these 9 or 10 lines that we'll cover today, he speaks about some aspects of tawakkul. And I'm going to share with you some deeper aspects of the concept of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Imam Ghazali as well, so that we can gain a deeper understanding of what it means to trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what are the things that prevent us from trusting upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To preface our discussion tonight, I want to take you back to the time of the hijrah or the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. All of the qualities that we discuss regarding the beautiful qualities of the heart, when you study the life of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find the exemplar example of that. You find the best example of those qualities. And so this quality as well, which is called tawakkul, or reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this quality as well, when you look at his life, throughout the entire life, you see this quality being exemplified. But there's one moment in the seerah that I think we were just studying it in the seminary. By the way, registration is open. We were studying in the seminary the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so I want you to kind of get this picture in your mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has now given permission to all of his companions who are in Mecca. They can now start to leave to go to Medina. But the people in Mecca are not letting them go that easy, right? They're not letting them just go like that. So they're giving them a hard time, really hard time. Hard time is an understatement for what they were actually going through. And so they all started to leave. And only a few remained back. And now it was time for the Prophet ﷺ himself to make his hijrah. And so he hires a non-Muslim guy to take him on the journey because he didn't want to go the normal route. He wanted to go a route that wasn't normally taken. So he hired a non-Muslim guy to take him on this route. And then he finally goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He tells him that we're going to go together. And Abu Bakr is elated. Like, I get to roll with you? Like, subhanAllah. Like, to roll shotgun with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, subhanAllah, that's big, man. You know what I'm saying? Just think of someone you look up to. If they're like, yo, let's roll. You're like, word? Okay, you on Instagram all day. Like, I'm just rolling, right? Just because I'm in shotgun. I'm just riding shotgun. So, just so you can understand, like, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, like, Allah chose me to accompany his Prophet alayhi salam to the final place that he's going to be. So that was a big deal for Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. So they're traveling, and as they're traveling, they start to make way, they're going. And a person by the name of Suraqa, he heard about the bounty on the head of the Prophet ﷺ. So he's like, yo, I'm about to cash in. So he's sitting down in a group, and someone comes to that group in Mecca, and they're like, yo, I just saw two people. Like, like 2 days away from here, I saw like two people. And maybe that's the two dudes y'all looking for. And Suraka's like, oh, no, that's not them. He calls me quietly. He's like, shh, they're not adding them. That's such and such. They just left. He knew it was them. But he wants to get that bounty, right? So he leaves. He goes after them, right? And sure enough, he starts to catch them. And this is where I want you to focus on today's topic. The hadith says that he's riding his horse. Now, this man is hunting them down. And he says, this is his first person narrative. He says, as I was getting closer and closer, there were two of them. One of them, I could tell he was worried about me because he kept looking back. He kept looking back because I'm getting closer. He kept checking, right? He's like, but the other one, all I saw, he was reciting something, but he never even looked back at me. And the one looking back was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, out of his fear that the Prophet ﷺ was going to get caught. And the one walking, not even looking back. Like, you ever been somewhere scary and you just don't look back because it's scarier? It's not that. That ain't what's happening to you.
That ain't what we're talking about here. Like, if I look back, it makes me want to look straight.
No, seriously speaking, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't worried. The Prophet wasn't worried at all. And finally, he makes this supplication to Allah, oh Allah, be enough for us. Be enough for us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That, listen, we are all struggling with different things in life. Everyone in this room, if they were just to explain what they're going through in life and the struggles, it would bring us all to tears. Every single one of us. But the solution to that pain, the solution to those troubles is to build your tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here's the breakdown of tawakkul. Tawakkul comes from a root word which means is wakala. And wakala is when you put someone else in charge of your affairs. And the word for like a muhami, like a lawyer, is like a wakil. Like a wakil. Someone who's disposer of your affairs is your wakil or muwakkal. Someone you put in charge of your affairs. And what Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, does, which is interesting, and we're going to jump into Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah ta'ala's qasida, but Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba is on a different level. That's why I had to rock the joint today. I was like, enough now, I got to rock the joint now, you know? Wifey was looking out for me, alhamdulillah. She's like, you're from Africa, why don't you rock? You know, it's like, okay, cool, let's do it. Anyway, so we're going to get to Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, but yo, he's really deep. So I'm going to back up, and we're going to use Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, just for a moment, so we can understand like what Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba has been talking about. So Imam Ghazali says this, first thing first, understand it this way. Tawakkul is based on, I'm going to use some Arabic words here, tawakkul is based on tawheed. Tawheed just means, what is tawheed? Like the oneness of Allah. So tawheed, kulluhu Allahu ahad, tawheed means the oneness of Allah. Your entire ability to trust upon Allah is based on your tawheed. That's it. Your recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one. And so what he says is, but tawheed, listen closely, has tabaqat. It has levels. Tawheed, your recognition of the oneness of Allah, has different levels. He says, the first level is that the heart simply affirms the oneness of God. Like, it just affirms it. Yeah, God is one. And he says, this is the average Muslim. This is the average Muslim. God is one. Allah is one. Allah is one. Allah is one. And he says, that's the lowest level. So you say the word and you say, yeah, I believe that. That's the lowest level of tawheed. And we got to up our game from that. Number two, he says, لَكِنْ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَعْرِفَةِ دَلِيلٍ. But you don't have any proof to that. Like, you say Allah is one, but you don't have any proof. Like, you're just saying it. You don't have a deep proof for it. Number two, level two. He says, this is deep now. He's like, you see all the different things that happen in life, but you see them all going back to one. This is the second level of tawheed. Everything you see happening in life, like all these things happening, you see it all happening, but you see them all sadiq, coming from one. You feel me? Now number three, the third level. He says,
أن يرى الإنسان when the basira, the sight of the heart, the qalb has sight, right? When the basira of the heart is clarified and it sees no doer but Allah. This is the third level. This is heavy. It sees no doer but Allah. It sees no doer, no action happened, except Allah is the one who did the action. So in my mind, as I was studying, I was like, what's the difference between two and three? Like, that's what I was like, what's the difference? And then I realized it's like, one is like the manager. Okay, no, for real. I was thinking about this, trying to figure this out. The second level is like the manager told like your coworker to tell you something. So when the coworker says it, you're like, oh, it's from Bob, Jane, whatever her name is. Right? So you're like, cool, it's from her, it's not from you. You feel me on that? Okay, what's the third level then? The manager themselves is telling you. Like, you don't even see Jane, your coworker. All you see in everything is that Allah is the doer of it. It wasn't through that first, that other step. This is a high level. This is high level stuff. Y'all, this like, yo, it's Qalam, yo. That's what we do. I'm saying Sunday school, you know what I mean? Okay. So listen, y'all with me? Y'all with me, right? So this is heavy, man. This is heavy because, listen, why is this powerful? Let me tell you how I translate this. Look, whenever something happens, a fender bender, a small accident of some sort, like, many people get very frustrated. Someone rear-ends you, right? Slide, boom, hits you. Now you can get out and really be irate because of the ignorance of this person, right? You could be very upset because of the stupidity of the person, right? And because of that, it will make you very frustrated. But you have no way to get rid of what happened. But when the person has a higher level of tawheed, are y'all with me? The third level, that fender bender happens, and what is he saying? What is she saying? Alhamdulillah. Like, inna lillah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Y'all, what's going on? Like, you must want me to be here right now. Do you understand that? Everyone understand the three different levels? Any questions about these three levels? As my children are disturbing you. Okay, they're cool. Okay. Yeah. How about I give you an example? I got you. I'm going to give you an example. Imam Ghazali is a genius. One of the reasons I love teaching these classes is because I get to expose you to giants from our ummah. Right? And one of them is Imam Ghazali. Imam Ghazali says this example. You've just been arrested for a crime. You've just been arrested for a crime. You didn't do it. The punishment of the crime is death. And you're on death row. You're on death row. And you make an appeal to the king. Imam Ghazali says, you make an appeal to the king. And the king, he looks at the situation. Something's going through his head that day. He goes, okay, someone call, you bring my pen. So the royal pen is brought. So he brings some paper. The royal paper is brought. And he writes something down. And he signs it. And he hands the paper over to a courtier, and he tells the courtier to go take it to the jail, and the person at the jail reads the paper. He's like, yo, man, you're free. You need to go. Imam Ghazali says, there are some people who will look at the, what's the person at the jail, sir? Guard. They'll hug the person, the guard, and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Imam Ghazali says, and then there's some people who will see that piece of paper, and they'll take the paper and kiss the paper. Oh, thank you, paper. Thank you, paper, for letting me free. And then he said, there's some people who will go and look for the pen and say, oh, thank you, pen. You let me free. Some people will look at the hand that wrote that and say, thank you, hand, for what you did. And there's some people that realize that the guard, the paper, the pen, the ink was all because of the king. is all from the king. No action happening to him. All of those things were in the pathway, but the source of it all was the king. He says, you're a fool if you start to look at the means and not the cause of the means. That accident happens, and here you are angry. But you have to elevate yourself and be like, why am I talking to the pen? Why am I, literally, why am I talking to the pen right now? Y'all feel me? Like, and so he says, Imam Ghazali, he says, listen to the way he says it. He says, فَيَرَى نَجَاتَهُ, this person thinks that their salvation, مِنَ الْقَلَمْ, it's from the pen. لَا مِنْ مُحَرِّكِ الْقَلَمْ, not from the one who moved the pen. He says, وَهَذَا غَيَةُ الْجَهْلِ, this is the complete, furthest extent of ignorance. The furthest extent of ignorance. So the second level was that you see different people doing things, but you realize that it's all from Allah. Second level. Third level, you don't even, it's like you don't even see the people almost. Like, we still thank people. Like, let me just, before you have a...
What is he saying?
Man lam yashkurillah, nas lam yashkurillah. Allah says, if you haven't thanked people, you haven't thanked Allah. We know that's there. I'm trying to take you to another level of your connection with Allah. That's what I'm doing. That's the purpose of today's talk. I want you to go to another level where everything happening in life, you see only one that did it. It's your beloved. Now let's go to another issue. There are three things. I'm sorry. Okay, so listen to this. If you have a lawyer, right? Imam Ghazali says, if you have a lawyer, let me back up. He said, a person will trust someone, anyone, if they find three qualities in that person. Three qualities. Number one, shafqa, love. The person loves you, man. He's looking out for you. Has your best interest in mind. Feel me? Number one, shafqa, love. Number two, quwwa, ability. Like the lawyer's good. Like, this guy's got 5-star Google ratings, man. Like, he's good. Somebody else, he's like, yo, he got me out. He's good. He's got qudra, power, ability. What do you think number three is? Knowledge. Sometimes ability isn't enough. You've got to have knowledge, too. Imam Ghazali says, I'm sorry, guys. They're trying to. Imam Ghazali says, this is deep, everyone. The reason you won't trust someone is because you doubt one of these three things in that person. The reason you won't trust a lawyer is because he don't got my best interest in mind. Or he's not good enough. Or he's not knowledgeable enough. These are the three things. So in your heart, why? How should this process within you? If you're like, wait, I don't trust in Allah enough, then what Imam Ghazali is telling me and you, brothers and sisters, is that you haven't contemplated on one of these three things regarding Allah enough for you. You haven't realized how much Allah loves you. You haven't come to that Allah loves you more than anyone else. Anyone else. Or you haven't come to the conclusion, reality, that Allah can do anything. That it's all in His power and control. Or you haven't come to the realization that Allah knows everything. He's like, if these three things become firm in your heart, then you have full trust in someone. So he says, وَقِسْ عَلَى هَذَا, use this for your example to understand where your deficiency is when it comes to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, everyone got that? Sure? All right, we're going to go deeper. He says, if you don't have that, it's for one of two reasons. All right? It's for one of two reasons. If you don't have what? Well, that trust in God in these three areas is for one of two reasons. Number one, adami yaqeen. You don't have, like I said, the first one, you don't have enough certainty that Allah has those abilities. Got it? Number one. Number two, guess what? Just a weak heart. Like, you can know something, like know it good, and your heart's still not strong enough to like go through with something. You know, Imam Ghazali gives an example. He always brings these crazy examples. He's like, there's a dead body. You know the body's dead. It's not going to move. but you couldn't sleep in the same room with it. You know it ain't gonna do nothing, right? You have your theme, like it's not gonna move. Someone's like, yo, sleep right there. You're like, heck no. It's not gonna do anything. Yeah, I know it ain't gonna do anything, so why can't you do it? No, I ain't doing it. That's it. So Imam Ghazali says that's an example of yaqeen, but a weak heart. I mean, that's a common sense one, but it's yaqeen. You know it's dead. It won't do anything. But my heart is way too weak. I can't do it. Now someone pay me. How much? So do you understand the example? He says if you cannot see these three levels, it's because of one of two things. Either a deficiency in yaqeen. I don't have certainty that Allah loves me. I don't have certainty that Allah can change my life. And I don't have certainty that Allah knows. Or second, I know it, but my heart is weak. Okay. Now, last thing, and then we're going to get into Sheikh Ahmad al-Bambara. He says, regarding your level of tawakkul, there are three levels. Again, three. There are three levels. He says the first level of tawakkul is that you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You trust in Allah, and you just have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the lowest level. Second level. You are like a young child to its mother. You see no recourse, nowhere to go, no place in difficulty, except going back to mom. He says, and he says it's so beautiful, he says, Ha tifl mal ummi, child with its mother. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُ غَيْرَهَا. The child doesn't know anyone but her. See, some people with Allah are like that. When calamity hits them, they don't know anyone but Allah. They don't know anyone but Allah. Like the child knows no one but the mother. وَلَا يَفْزَعْ إِلَى سِوَاهَا. The child, when it cries, it immediately calls him something. Right away, he's going to get up. Is he going to go to anyone? Well, I don't know about him, but any other child. Once something happens, they get just going to find the mother. Bam, that's it. No one else can soothe me. No one else can help take care of what's troubling me. And he says, وَلَا يَعْتَمِدْ إِلَّا إِيَّهَا. It only trusts upon her. And he says, وَأَوَّلُ سَابِتْ إِلَى لِسَانِهِ يَا أُمَّا. He says, the first thing that will always come on the child when anything happens, oh, mom, what he's saying, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. May Allah give us this level. He says that some people, the moment a calamity hits, the first thing is, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Me and my wife, like, Mario was called, oh, Qasim was just born. So Qasim was just born like a week. And we were driving home from her house, we were going home. It was after Halak, just like this, right? It's after Halak. We were going home, and we were at a light, and the light is like at the bottom of the hill. So I'm riding with Shotgun Man, one of my aces. What was the word y'all said for an ace? Ace? You know, ace, like partner, yeah. My man. Okay, cool. Yeah, so this is my man, mashallah, right? So he's in the shotgun, Sada's in the back, and we got Nadia, Karima, and y'all know Qasim. The Qasim's just like a week old, literally a week, right? A week old. And the car comes, like, and I heard the screeching. You know, you heard screeching, like, I heard the screeching, right? Bam. Just smash it. Yeah, and he's red stoplight. And he's going to 50, right? Very subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. No one is special, right? But the point I'm bringing this up is because the dude next to me, my ace, the moment it happened, he was just like, Allah! When it was all over, I was like, it just came. Allah! I was like, you my man. I am rolling with you. Because you can't fake that. It can't be faked. Like, and so he says that the second level, some people, they don't know anyone but Allah. And that's, yo, we're going to go to the third level. But that's where we got to get to, man. When hardship comes, you don't call this person, call that person. No, Allah, right away. No one else. Because you realize that if Allah opens the door, who can close the door? And if Allah closes the door, who's going to open the door? No one. So we have to push ourselves to that point where we know there's no one but Allah I'm going to turn to. And it's the first one I'm going to turn to. Before everyone else, I'm going to raise my hand. We ask Allah to give us that reality. We ask Allah to make that our reality, our hearts. Ya Allah, please connect our hearts to you in that way. Ya Allah, please connect our hearts to you in that way. Number three. The third level. He says, أَنْ يَكُونَ بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مَثْلُ الْمَيِّتْ بَيْنَ يَدِ الْغَافِرِ. He says that you, the third level is that you become before Allah the way a deceased person who's laying before the janazah and is being washed. If you ever wash the body, it's a very crazy experience. Like this person who had all this volition, these ideas, and these dreams, and that laughter, they're just laying there, right? And here you are, you lift them up, you know, you lay them back down, you turn them to their side. Like they have no movement, dead weight as we call it, right? He says the third level of your trust upon Allah is that you become like the deceased person in the hands of the one washing the body. I don't know if you get what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that you've let go. You've let go. Because Allah's in my, I'm in Allah's hands. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي. The Prophet used to take an oath. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي. I swear by the one in whose hands my soul is in. I'm just in the hands of Allah. So you've gone beyond submission. You've gone to a level called tafweed. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Tafweed is I've given up. Like I've given it up. You got control of everything. That's third level, y'all. We're trying to get to second right now. We're trying to get to two. You know what I mean? Third level is just a higher. Any question? So now Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba says this. Okay, so we had this talk about tawakkul, right? So when you start getting in these high levels of tawakkul and trust in Allah, what happens to some people is they think that using means goes against tawakkul. You feel me? Using means, like, oh, I'm just going to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get an A. I'm going to trust. Man, you better study. You know what I'm saying? You better study. The Prophet ﷺ would go to battle with a helmet on. You know what I'm saying? The Prophet ﷺ, like, we talked about his tawakkul on that journey, right? He hired a guy to take him down the way. Right? He took, literally, listen to me, he took provisions for that journey. He didn't say, I'm just going to travel, Allah will give me food. So what Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is going to talk about right now is there are some people who go all up in this tawakkul and they think that trusting in Allah means that you leave out your the means, what's called the sabab. So listen, asbab, real quick Arabic lesson for y'all. Allah, registration is open, by the way. We got online classes. I'm even joking, but anyway. So sabab means, sabab is a means to something. It actually comes from an Arabic word which means a rope, right? It's a rope. Like, so the outcome, the thing that you want to happen, and between the outcome and you, is that sabab, right? And so our tawakkul, here's the key. Tawakkul never negates taking the sabab. always remember that. In fact, dua is a sabab. Dua is a sabab, is a means, is a way to get that thing. So by no means am I saying that trusting in Allah means that we leave out our struggle. And that's what Shaykh Ahmad Ubamba rahimahullah ta'ala is going to talk about right now, is which you're supposed to join both of them. Now here's the beauty of Islam. You know what I found so amazing about Islam? Is spiritually, internally, we are like pushed to this very high level. But practically, pragmatically, we're still engaged in the dunya. It's amazing in Islam, the balance. Like internally, and I'm going to give an example. What he's going to tell us is this, and I'm going to read it in a minute. The means is in your hand, but not in your heart. I'm going to say that again. The means is in your hand, but not in your heart. What do I mean by that? Okay. Your job is a means for you to have money, right? Sahih, right? You couldn't, according to Sharia, you couldn't quit your job that Allah will provide for you, right? You can't do that, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, first hire camel, then trust, right? Is the job the provider, though? Yes, it is. This is how you get paid. Is it your provider? No, it's not. Our point is to realize this. That job is the means. But guess what? Here's the key. If Allah took that means away, you got a text message from your boss. I don't know if your boss is going to text. You got a text, Nashad, we don't need you to come in tomorrow. And the whole week you take off. You got help. I know. Right? What happens to your heart at that moment? You get worried? You start to get frantic? If you do get frantic, that means, here's the thing, though. Don't take this wrong. But you've taken that means to be the source of your livelihood when it was supposed to be just a means. If you get that text message, you're like, I'm doing that. I guess God got something else planned for me. That's the test. You with me? So as long as it's coming, I'm taking that means. And this applies to everything. Applies to everything. I'm going to use. And the moment Allah takes that one away, that's the test. Can I still see that Allah is the provider when that is taken away? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you were to trust in Allah as you were supposed to, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَزُقُ الطَّيْرُ, that if you trust in Allah as you should, He would provide for you the way He provides for birds. They leave out in the morning, empty stomach, and they come back. That level of tawakkul on Allah. So the point is, and this is why I said Islam is so beautiful, because it's like, spiritually, we're like these like rabbi, like monks, spiritually. Like, none of the dunya means anything. But outwardly, I'm all up in the dunya. Like, all up in it. But internally, not at all. Not at all. I shared with y'all a story. I'm going to share the story again, because some of y'all may not have heard it. Example of means versus your connection with Allah. There's a young boy learning how to count. Young boy learning how to count in school. So he tells his Baba, he says, Baba, I'm learning how to count. And I'm going to learn how to count to 10 very soon. You remember this one? So he says, his father says, son, when you learn how to count to 10, come to me. I'll take you to the candy store. So he comes back one day after school. Baba, I got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. His father's like, mashallah, let's go. They run to the candy store. The Amu is there behind the thing. He says, the father looks at the Amu and makes a gesture at him. He says, yes, son. And he says, Amu, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. His dad says, give him 10 candies. The guy gives him 10 candies. He's happy. Goes home. What are you doing? Next day, coming home from school, he's passing by the candy store. And he's like, well, I know the equation now, right? That's the means, right? See, that's the means. But he doesn't understand that It's the father behind the movies. Feel me? So he walks in the candy store and he goes, Uncle! He's like, yes, young man? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You probably can count more now too, right? 11! Like, should be duck. What you want, yo? What you want? What do you want? Lion's like, let me try again. And he's like, come here, son. Let me explain something. Your counting was between you and your father. Our work is between us and Allah. And your father, me and him, had our own arrangements. That was done for him, and he's not here now. You get the example? That's the example. So we try. And here's the thing. It's such a savior for your own. Because sometimes we try hard, and that stuff don't work, man. And we fail, you know. That's when it hits you. But that's when you got to realize that I try, but the trying isn't what gets it to me. It's Allah that gives it to me. Let's read Shaykh Ahmad Duban Barahimahullah Ta'ala. Bismillah. So he's starting off by talking about someone who gives up trying because they want to have tawakkul. So he says, Bismillah. فَتَرْكُ كَسْبٍ لِإِدِّعَاءِ تَوَكُّلِ مَالْتِفَاتٍ فِعْلُ غُمْرٍ إِنْجَلِ. He says, for you to stop working out of claims of trusting in Allah, and your iltifat, now I didn't talk about this word yet. What does iltifat mean in Arabic? Iltifat means to look somewhere, right? You're walking right down the street, your wife's with you, someone walks past, iltifat. Right? That's iltifat. You get it? You get iltifat? Iltifat. No, I need you to get this example. As we strive for higher levels, for no moment in time should you iltafata, look to the side other than Allah. Should you look away from Allah when it comes to providing? Do you understand what I mean by that? Let me give an example. Do you remember the story in the Seerah where the Prophet was gathering a lot of money for the Battle of Tabuk, and Abu Bakr came with all of his wealth, and then Umar bin Khattab came with half of his wealth? Okay, we just said that you're not allowed to just give up the worldly means and just, like, trust. But here we have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, coming with all of his wealth. Now, he didn't tell no one. He wasn't coming like, look at that. Yeah. So, he came and gave it. And by revelation, the Prophet knew something was up. So he said, Ya Abu Bakr, what did you leave at home? Notice the question. Normally, you ask someone, what'd you bring? So the question itself tells you that he was privy to something deeper. You with me, right? So he says, what did you leave at home? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we see on Mufala's example, was trying to keep his stuff low-key. But every time the Prophet is bringing him out. Over and over again, bringing him out. So now the Prophet asks what I left at home. If he asked me what I brought, I could have said a number. Nobody knows what's at home. But when he says, what did you leave at home? I'm forced to be like, nothing. Now everyone knows my level. So he says, what did you leave at home? He said, I left Allah and his prophet. I left Allah. Now pause that story. In the same incident, another man came with a brick of gold, like a chunk of gold, and he brought it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picked it up and threw it back. And he says, why do some people give sadaqah today? And tomorrow they're going to be begging people. Now, the Ahmed goes, whoa, what's going on? Think deeper. Why didn't he do that with Abu Bakr, and why did he do it with that man? Not a rhetorical question, someone tell me. What do you mean? Explain it. You're right. Remember, we're talking about iltifat, looking to the side, right? So what that means is you're giving, and that's not truly your level. That's not you. Abu Bakr gave, and there was no iltifat. There was no, tomorrow I'm going to be asking people. I'm giving today, and I know yesterday he was my provider, tomorrow he's my provider. But this person giving today is giving beyond their level. And the Prophet ﷺ is like, no, you're supposed to give what you can give. You feel me? So he didn't accept it from that man because that wasn't truly his level, but he accepted it. So what I'm trying to say is this. We are all at different levels in this room. Some of us can only give that brick because I ain't got that level of tawakkul yet. And some of us, Abu Bakr, would you leave at home? Nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't allow that man to even give a brick where he allowed Abu Bakr to give that higher level. Why? Because of this word, iltifat, which means you never lose focus on the provider. You get it? So basically look at it this way. I'll make it very easy for you. Giving that much was harmful for the iman of that man. Giving that much would have hurt the faith of that man. Because tomorrow he's going to be asking people. And we never ask people, we only ask Allah. Because Allah is the provider. Do you feel me? Hold on, I got you. Do you feel me though? That would have been harmful for that man. Because what is tawakkul? What did I start tawakkul on? There's an Arabic word that tawakkul is based on. I started today's class on that. Tawheed. This would have been a problem in his tawheed. Because tomorrow, he's going to be asking someone else instead of asking Allah. Where Abu Bakr was good. He's like, I'm going to ask Allah. It don't matter, I'm good. But his level was higher. Yes? I don't know if we can say shoddy. I think his intention was good, but he was overstepping. He didn't realize the harm that that would cause. Yes. His intention was great, but he doesn't realize give within your means. And just, yeah. Yeah. So what is Shaykh Ahmad Ibn Rahimullah saying? He says, فَتَرْكُ كَسْبٍ, for you to stop earning out of claims of tawakkul. With your looking to other people. Now you understand looking to other people. فِعْلُ غُمْرٍ إِنْ جَلَى. This is a lost action. إِنْ جَلَى, if it's clear to you. وَأَلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْكَسْبَ. Everything he's saying we've discussed already. وَأَلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْكَسْبَ لَا يُنَافِي تَوَكُولًا لَا تَكُوا لَا إِتِّلَافِ. He says, know that earning does not negate trusting upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Working, earning, all your effort doesn't negate. Doesn't negate. In fact, it shows that you truly understand Allah because you're working for what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. فَلَا تَكُوا. He says, don't be a people who waste stuff. Meaning you waste things by not putting your effort and just saying, I'm going to trust in Allah. حَسْبُكَ مِنْ تَوَكُّلْ. This is enough for us as tawakkul. حَسْبُكَ. Enough for you in relying upon Allah. أَلَّا تَرَى مُجْرِيَ رِزْقِكَ سِوَى رَبِّ الْوَرَى. Enough for you is that you only see one source of your patience. I'm using it all. I'm working hard. But I only see one source. And we said the test is when you lose that one door, do you get worried? So he said, that's enough. وَالْأَفْضَلُ وَالْجَمْرُ لِهَذَيْنِ مَعَا. The best thing is to join these together. Work and trust. Work and trust. وَإِنْ أَتَى فِيهِ خِلَافٌ سُمِعَا. He's like, yeah, on the higher level, some ulama have difference of opinion. What's better? But he says, no. فَالْأَفْضَلُ is to do both of these. What he's trying to highlight is like, when you go into deeper books on these topics, you do have some Muslim scholars who would say, but hold on. Do we see any examples where not taking the sabab or the means is better and whatever? So he's saying there's a difference of opinion, but without a shadow of a doubt, the boat, the best is to join the boat together. How long is it possible? Okay. He says, لِأَنَّ مُرَبَتَ بِالْأَسْبَابِ أَفْعَالُهُ. He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected with his actions all asbab. That is the way of Allah. Da'ban. This is his way. Ala sawab. And this is correct. All the outcomes have sabab. Asbab means. Then he says, وَجَعَلَ الْأَسْبَابِ مِنَ حَصَلَتْ أَبْوَابٍ فِعْلِهِ بِإِحْكَامٍ ثَبَتْ. He says, Allah has made these means, when they're obtained, the doors by which you enter in to the actions.
وبعده رتب ملكه على تلك الأوائل تعالى وعلى. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected to his dominion on these doors, these asbab ta'ala. What he's trying to say is all of Allah's dominion is based on these things as well. All of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom that we live within is based on these things as well. فَكُلُّ, listen to this, فَكُلُّ مَنْ يَطْلُبُ مِنْهُ فِعْلًا, whoever seeks something from Allah, مِنْ غَيْرِ بَابِهِ, without going through the door. What's the door? The sabab, the means. وَيَرْجُ الْوُسُولَ, and this person thinks they're going to actually reach. فَقَدْ عَتَى جَحْلًا بِسُوءِ الْأَدَبِ, this person has had bad etiquettes with Allah, meaning you haven't had the correct relationship with Him. وَفَقْدِ الْعَرَبِ, and you have lost what you were seeking out to get. So I think that's good, inshallah. Any questions? I mean, just remember the level of that child. Remember that the only thing that comes from that child is not this yet, my young. So we strive to make our trust in Allah the primary thing, and not the trust. People, jobs, all of that stuff, man. Trust in Allah. Now, the last thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, like, scholars do, it's getting late, so I'm not going to go too deep, but scholars do go into the detail about asbab, whether they're yaqeen or, like, shaki. Like, if it's a yaqeen or a certain asbab, then it would be haram for you to not take it. Let me give an example. Like, if doctors say that this for sure is the cure for this thing, you're like, no, I'm not going to take it. Well, that would be haram. I'm not going to do it. You have to take that asbab, right? But when we get into, like, really, really, what's it, speculative asbab, right, that's where there's more room for you to take it or not have to take it, right? But if a person was like, I'm not going to eat food because God will provide me nourishment, it's a fool. That's sinful in Islam. That's what I'm trying to say, that's sinful, right? But if someone's like, you got to take vitamins, that's going to make you live longer. I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's a suburb. I don't have to take vitamins. I got to eat food. Right, so the way the scholars separate these two is one is basically a certain sabab, and the other is a speculative sabab. So if it's a speculative sabab, then you're not obliged to have to take it. With that said, please disinfect your hands. Wash your hands. The bathroom is here. Please, Muslims is mad touchy feely, right? Corona ain't no joke. Unfortunately, some of our students and maybe some people in the community, they were going for Umrah, but now they can't go for Umrah because Saudi's not for Umrah. So there's a lot of Muslims who, in spring break, that's when they go, and their hearts are looking forward to going. And so if you know someone who was going, don't ask them, what's going on? But console them. A lot of people really, that's that spiritual boost for a lot of people. And if you haven't experienced it, you'll save that, whatever, however much it costs, and make that trip then, because there's a spiritual boost that is unprecedented, like that words don't articulate, right? And so there are a lot of people in our community who are planning to go for it, and they can't because of coronavirus, right? So if you know anyone, you know, console them. Know that some people start to think that Allah's not happy with me. He didn't allow me to come to his house. And no, don't tell him that because the problem himself is not. Yes.
Wasn't there one step that like someone wanted to go with their heart, like they weren't able to go, they get the reward. Their heart,
yes, so basically the Prophet ﷺ, he physically did three Hajj, but they say he gets the reward. He did four. Because the one he was stopped from, they still got the reward. So, any questions about Tawakkul? Okay. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. How do you strengthen a weak heart?
It's hard work. I'm just joking. So basically, our Lewis Murphy has a class about heart work. So it's like working on your heart.
I think, no, seriously, strengthening your heart is done by one of the things that's the most effective in strengthening the heart. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says, Istinshaq wa waqif siddiq bi makhalati ahli. Smelling the fragrances of truth and sincerity by sitting amongst the people. So hearts, biologically and spiritually, what happens, biologically we know our bodies sleep or not, right? We, you know, similarly, hearts do the same thing. So by coming to gatherings where you have other people with strong hearts, your heart starts to synchronize with us. And that's why there's so much emphasis about good company in our religion. Because just by being in the gathering, you're benefiting so much. Even if it's a lame, like you're not feeling the talk or whatever, like just being in that company, the hearts, just like I said, biologically, bodies synchronize. Like, we know that. Similarly, hearts do too. Right? So I think the best thing is to say good spiritual company. Good spiritual practice is one of the most effective. But otherwise, it's a process. I think what we're trying to do through this class is strengthen our hearts. Right? Every one of us is coming here because my heart got weak in 6 days, and here's the seventh day, now I need to boost it up again. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing. For real. So, okay, next week is spring break. No class. My wife gave me the look for okay. Yeah, No class. Yeah. So 1 week off. 1 week, just 1 week. Spring break's 1 week, right? Yeah. Yeah, 1 week. Alright? But after that, we keep rolling and strong. Yeah, oh, there's a question. No, human nature is to worry. But the point of our iman in Allah is to help us get out of that worry. You know, Imam Ghazali, the little part I was joking about the dead body, he said something that was deep, yo. Like, look what he said. I actually just left it for whatever. But he said, it goes with what you were saying. So he says, so the same thing I just said to you, but then he said this, وَهُوَ نَوْءُ الْضُعْفِ. This is a sign of a weak heart, right? But then he says, قَلَّمَا يَخْلُو إِنسَانٍ مِنْهَا. Every insan has this. And he says, قَلَّمَا, like, very seldom is a person not going to have this. But then he says, وَقَدْ يُقَوَّى. Sometimes it's even so strong, حَتَّى يَسِيرُ مَرَضًا. It becomes a sickness, right? Worry, anxiety, worry. He says, حَتَّى يَخَافُ أَنْ يَبِيتَ فِي الْبَيْتِ وَحْدًا مَعَ الْغَلْقَ الْأَبْوَابِ. So he's talking about, like, anyone would be scared to sleep in a house with a dead body there. But he's like, some people, their worries get so much. And this is Imam Ghazali. This is, like, centuries ago, right? He's like, it becomes a sickness where they can't even be in their own house without anxiety. Right? There's nothing bothering you, but you're filled with anxiety. So I think our connection with Allah, like, purifying your heart is helping you psychologically, too. So I agree. Human nature to worry, like, I feel you. If we lose our job, we're going to have some worry there. But what stops you from breaking down? What stops you from losing? Now, when we get stronger, we don't even get to the like, we're like, whatever, I'm good. But right now, it's like, I'm not going to break down because I got a lot. I might get worried at first, but I'm going to check that. So I agree, it's human nature. That worry is human nature. But hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And that's why we say these things every day. You know, like I was telling you, we have to have like a wird. Like if you don't say this every day, this mantra, this like, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is enough for me and the best of disposer of affairs. If you don't recite that daily, it's like, we were talking about this in class, like, the reason you repeat it daily is so that it becomes part of who you are. You get what I mean by that? By repeating hasbunallahu, like, let me give you an example. Remember we talked about psychologically priming? What was it when we were talking about priming? Priming, right? So what were we talking about, sister? I'm sorry we're getting a little late, but so basically in Islam we have these dhikrs that you should say daily, in the morning, or in the evening. One of them, for example, is Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel 7 times. 7 times, right? Now, the question may be, first of all, why seven times? And why every day? I got the message. But one of the things I was studying recently in a psychology class is the concept of priming, which is when something is fresh in your mind, then you normally, like, you'll go to that thing first. Because you prime, it was primed. So, like, accident happens, and for the last month, for seven times in the morning, I've been saying, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, it comes out. Because it's been primed. And so that's why I encourage us to do dhikr, because you're getting yourself ready. If the calamity happens, it does it. Alhamdulillah, well, either way. But my mind is primed for that recognition of Allah. Feel me? But yeah, we're getting late. Any other questions? So Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel is the dhikr you would read to build this tawakkul on Allah. Yeah, you had your hand up. Last one,
Abdurrahman. If you,
and the other one's not better for you, Islam?
I don't know. What I'm trying to say is if you choose, you have two choices.
Two choices.
And one of them is better for you.
You can't take both?
No. Okay. Does that mean you don't have your trust in Allah?
You don't have your trust in Allah? Yeah. No. We have istikhara. I ask Allah for khair. I ask Allah for what's good. You should have trust in Allah after you choose your choice. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That's what the Quran says. When you've chosen, then comes tawakkul. Let's call it quits for tonight, inshallah. Let's make a dua, inshallah.